Welcome to the King's Anywhere podcast, inspirational teaching, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you're ready.
This talk is part of our series, Everyday Discipleship, and we're thinking about daily encouragement today. The scriptures that we're going to be looking at are Hebrews 3, 13, and Numbers 13, and then Acts 11, 19 to 30. I wonder if you could just take a moment to reflect on who has encouraged you. Can you look back on your life and just think for a moment, who has come alongside you and encouraged you? I know for me, I haven't always spoken publicly or preached, and there was a church leader called Eldon Corsi. He used to lead the Elim denomination, but he was on the leadership team at our previous church. And just at the time when I was feeling challenged by God to step out and start speaking, he came alongside me and just encouraged me to do that. And he suggested that I share a talk with my husband Darren at the time as sort of a step. And he really encouraged me to step into what I felt God was asking me to do. And I'm very grateful for that encouragement at the time. You know, God is an encourager. God the Father is an encourager. He sent his Son for you. And he is a greatest encourager. And in Matthew 3, verse 13, he says over Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him." And God speaks over your life. God speaks over my life. He is our greatest encourager, God the Father. God the Son came to be like us. He was born fully God, fully man. He laid down his life for us, and he died on the cross for us. And he has demonstrated his encouragement by making it possible for us to have that relationship with God. And so he is our encourager, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked, didn't he, in John 14, "I'll ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." So the Holy Spirit comes alongside us as an advocate to be with us and is an encourager. So when we see who God is, encouragement is part of his character. All of the encouragement that God gives us moves us forward in our love for him and encourages us in the direction of our obedience to him. And so our encouragement from God is going in a certain direction, isn't it? It's not just in any direction. And the book of Hebrews teaches us who God is and what he has done, and applies this how we are to walk by faith and enter a rest of obedience to God through listening to what God is saying and doing the same for one another. So encouraging each other in our walk with God in the same direction that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit encourages us in. And I'm just going to read the verse from Hebrews 3:13, which it says, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." You know, myself and my husband Darren, we like walking, and we will do that on our day off very often. We'll go for a walk. When we're on holiday, very often we will be walking somewhere because we just enjoy walks, and we don't tend to take a map with us. And there's been lots of times when we're on the walk where we kind of become a little bit unsure. Are we on the right path? Are we still heading in the right direction? Is this the right mountain? And we become a little bit uncertain as to where we are. And more times than not, we tend to bump into another walker who has a map, which we're very grateful for, and they'll show us where we are on the map, and we suddenly feel encouraged. We feel a sense of confidence in where we are. We feel that we can carry on. We feel that we can keep going. in that direction, because we've seen the map, and you know, we've had maps given to us before now, because walkers have just felt sorry for us. So having that roadmap on a walk is really, really important. And we're going to look at how God's word and God's promises, as we listen and we frame those in our daily walk, are our daily encouragement. And we're going to explore that through the story of the 12 spies in Numbers 13. So we're just going to read some verses from Numbers 13. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just some verses out of Numbers 13 for us. So verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." Now there's a clue there, where God says, "I am giving to the Israelites." So he's going to give them the land. And they go out to explore the land. And in verse 17 it says, "When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong, weak, few or many." And so they go out and explore the land. And then just moving on to verse 26. "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." 12 spies, 2 different perspectives for 10 of them and 2 of them. The 10 spies went out. They took measurements of the land and they said, sure, at first they saw the fruit and the resources in the land. Sure, it's a great place. But there are too many people for us to take on. They're too strong and their cities are too fortified. All they could see was the obstacles and they put those above the goodness of the land that God was giving them. That was in the picture. But Caleb and Joshua, they went out, they did the same thing, they measured the land, but they did a different exercise in their heads. They saw exactly the same problems, but they didn't measure the size of the walls, the size of the enemy, how many chariots. Instead, in the frame, they measured the promise of God. They looked at that God had said to them, "I'm going to give you the land." That was the promise. And that was God's rest that he was inviting them into, to trust the word of God, to trust his promise above all of the other problems in the situation that God was asking of them to do. And Joshua and Caleb put all of that information in light of God's promise. And the nation of Israel chose to listen to the 10 spies. They spread a bad report. They discouraged them. And so they were not listening. They certainly were not listening to Caleb and Joshua. And that meant they were also not listening to God. They were not listening. They didn't look at the roadmap. They didn't see God's roadmap. They chose not to believe in God's promise. And we can look there, can't we? We can see a principle that encouragement very often comes, and courage comes when from who you listen to. It's very important who we listen to. And the verses in Hebrews encourage us to listen, not harden our hearts, but to listen to God and have God's word and God's promise in the frame of our situations and our problems, and to trust God. And so we're not to measure the size of our problem. We're meant to see God's, we can see the problem, but we see that God's promise and God is greater. And faith is the key to go the distance. Daily faith, as we look at the promise, as we see the roadmap each day. And it's that faith to accept God's version of the road ahead. Joshua and Caleb accepted God's version of their road ahead, the roadmap. And they made a decision to say, sure, it does look impossible through because of the size of the problem, but let's be ruled by the size of our God and what he has promised us. And they listened to God's voice and trusted his promises. And I just encourage you today, what is in your frame of reference? What is your daily frame of reference? Do you wake up and do you put God's promise, God's word, into the situations that you're facing? And do you see those through what God has said and through his promises to you? Because that is your roadmap for your daily encouragement. So we are encouraged to bring words of encouragement to each other to help us to believe the promises of God and to trust the direction that he is taking us in. So helping us to enter each other, to enter into and live in God's rest of his word and his promises to us that bring us peace in our situations and circumstances that we face. Let's read on a little bit in Hebrews 3. So from verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. And further down it says in verse 7, God again set a certain day, calling today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The Israelites wandered around in the desert after the spies were sent out into the land for 40 years because they didn't carry on in the way that they started. What they saw God do and say should have been enough for them to believe when he parted the Red Sea and brought them out of Egypt, but they didn't. And the promise of the land was meant to function for them as rest. As it says in this passage, what God says was meant to function as rest as they listened to him. And the chapter is quoting from Psalm 95, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And we need, the point is that we need spiritual discipline all the way through our lives to the end. It matters that we continue in the way that we've started and that we keep walking, that we continue to have faith and trust and believe. Many of those that wandered around the wilderness just simply, they stopped believing. All of us face the challenge to trust God more than the way we feel or the things that we see in front of us. And we all need to keep our eyes on God's eternal rest. When Hebrews talks about the word today, it means that God set a future time, and that time is now because Jesus has spoken to us, as it says in chapter 1, through his Son. And so that today is now, it's present. Everything has been set for us to make it and as followers of Jesus. And the mindset that we need to have is today mode, not tomorrow mode. Harvey Firestone Jr. has said, today is when everything that's going to happen from now on begins. Mother Teresa has said, yesterday is gone, tomorrow has not yet come. We only have today, let us begin. And we're encouraged to daily hold God's promise and to walk in our faith, that believing in all that God has provided for us. We need to hold faster our confidence, keep a firm grip on our original confidence that we know that we've been, we have a relationship with Jesus, and we hold that right to the end. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as the Israelites did in the wilderness. It's like nobody wants to fall asleep, do they, when you're driving a car? So, you know, but the temptation is there. You say you're not going to do it, but your eyes sort of close, and it's a very dangerous situation to be in. And we need to be alert in our spiritual discipline that we are keeping listening to what God is saying to us, and we're keeping listening to God's promises for us. And we need to be able to recognize the state we're in, because, you know, if you're falling asleep in the car, that's the point, isn't it? You're not necessarily recognizing the state you're in, and that sudden sleepiness in the car can come on, and you know, you hear that temptation, just close your eyes for a few seconds, and we mustn't do that as followers of Jesus. We must make every effort in prayer or reading a Bible or encouraging one another to keep going, to have that spiritual discipline all the way through our lives, and keeping following God in that. Many of the people in the wilderness just simply stopped believing that God was really with them, and once you stop believing in God, then you're going around and round in the wilderness, and you're never getting anywhere. And faith says that what he has begun to do in you, he will continue to do. The beginning of the work of God in you is a miracle, and he initiated that. And what he has already begun, he can continue and complete until the day of Christ Jesus. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long we've been a follower of Jesus, we need to keep awake. We need to keep dependent on him, following the roadmap of his promises and his encouragement for us daily. So we've thought about encouragement as future hope and as our roadmap. And we're now going to think about encouragement as comfort. Going back to our verse from Hebrews 3:13, where it says, talks about encouragement, the word is a word that means exhort. It's from the word which paraclete is derived from, so that reminds us of the Holy Spirit. It means to come alongside, parakletos, the Holy Spirit, means to come alongside one as an advocate or to help. We're going to look at a character in the New Testament, Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement, and he was particularly good at picking up and coming alongside others. Maybe others didn't expect to make it, those that perhaps were rejected by some people because they'd let others down in the past, or some people that felt broken, those that were viewed as a bit of a maverick. And he was very good at coming alongside people. He did this as an encourager, someone who spoke up for others, but modelled walking alongside people too. We're going to look at Acts 11 and verse 19 to 29. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This church was breaking down cultural barriers, reaching into the Greek world, and bringing people from different cultures and backgrounds together. And there was definitely a multicultural feel about this church. And Barnabas was sent into this context, and he recognised the grace of God. He saw the grace of God at work, and he was an encourager who recognised where that God was breaking through cultural barriers, and he came alongside them to bring that sense of encouragement. In Acts 13, we do get to see more of the multicultural nature of this church on the leadership team. We see Barnabas from Cyprus, Simeon, which is a Hebrew name, was called Niger, probably a from Africa. Then there was Lucius of Cyrene. There was Manaen, who was brought up with Herod. And so there's a very mixed cultural leadership in this church, and Barnabas was part of that and of establishing that. So Barnabas, he starts to lead this church, and Barnabas was a good man, and William Barclay called him the man with the biggest heart in the church. And under his leadership, the church grew under his encouragement. Into this context, Barnabas spots an opportunity for coming alongside Saul, who became known as Paul, and he was in that place of being remade, of being reshaped, and he went to Tarsus to come alongside him and bring him into the church at Antioch. Barnabas was really good at taking people from where they are and seeing what they could be by God's grace. And he came alongside Saul, who would become known as Paul, and he would have listened to his story. He would recognise that he was in the middle of his story. He wasn't where he could be. He was on a journey. So Barnabas listened to Paul. And as part of our encouragement, it's important that we listen. We ask the Holy Spirit, don't we, when we come alongside someone, how you can encourage them. You listen to their story, and then you encourage them where they are, and listening to what God wants to say to them. And Barnabas did that with Saul, or Paul. And so he listened, but then he loved on Paul. Barnabas knew how to pick people up, and we know the Bible says, doesn't it, that love covers a multitude of sins. And Barnabas saw the power of the cross at work in Paul's life. And discipleship is about loving someone where they are on the journey, not when they have arrived. And Barnabas recognised what discipleship looked like. And he brought that sense of coming alongside, that sense of comfort. You know, the Holy Spirit, he is pure, he's holy, and he travels with you and me in our insecurities, in the way that we are being remade by God's grace. Can we give that same grace that we are receiving to others? Can we come alongside others in their journey and give that same grace? Recognize that they're being remade and being shaped by God. The grace that you're receiving, give to others. Coming alongside others with a view to help and encourage them, like Barnabas demonstrates to us. And so he came alongside Paul, he listened to him, he loved him, and then he led him. And Barnabas led him into opportunities for growth and encouragement. And he helped Paul to demonstrate his new identity to the church in Antioch. They probably saw him in a certain light, and he needed to break through their view of him by demonstrating his new identity and the way that God was reshaping him. And Barnabas created that opportunity for Paul to do that, to break out of that mould in that context. And he could have been viewed as a threat. What Barnabas did could have been viewed as a threat to the church, because the church was growing, and Barnabas was able to keep in mind the long term benefits of encouragement. He was not afraid to ruffle some feathers in the short term. He was able to keep in mind that long-term view of encouragement, and so that he was able to bring the challenge in the short term. And Paul was linked very visibly to the previous persecution that had birthed the church at Antioch. And Barnabas was bringing in a leader that had possibly imprisoned some family members of the founders of this church. And he recognised that this was a clear opportunity for covenant, for forgiveness, for reconciliation needed right at the heart of this church. You know, we don't know, do we, what lengths of forgiveness God may call us to in this life. And we certainly don't choose them all, but God brings us to those points. And this was a point for the church in Antioch. How could they take leadership from a former persecutor of say, their family? But it's linked to the heart of the gospel, a link to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and a reconciled community being formed out of the work of God's grace. Paul had changed and been persecuted himself, and so trust was able to be built out of that forgiveness. And what it says about covenant in the New Testament church is that it runs deep in our relationships. And sometimes it's not easy, but it's necessary. And at times it costs to embrace that. And Barnabas brought that challenge to the church at Antioch. And out of this place of reconciliation, there was a great release of mission and the God's kingdom out of this church, as Barnabas was key in doing that. So God's challenge out of Antioch, the church, when we look at it, is that God heals relationships, and he kind of invites us to get over ourselves for the sake of Jesus. And Barnabas knew what he was doing when he brought Saul to release that forgiveness and that blessing into the church of Antioch. So Barnabas demonstrates to us the importance of encouragement and of recognizing the grace of God and coming alongside one another, even when it costs us at times to do that, and to see each other grow in our relationship with God and take the opportunities that God has for us. And I want to just pray for us today. And I wonder if maybe today you're thinking about that daily encouragement of having God's roadmap in your life, and having in the frame of reference God's promises to you. And you just want to say in these moments as we pray, I'm putting that in first place, that daily encouragement of seeing God's future hope for me, of his promises, and you're going to put that as a priority in your life. I want to pray for you. Maybe you you feel challenged about being an encourager, being a Barnabas, and the cost of that, but the blessing of that at the same time. And maybe God's going to lay someone on your heart to come alongside and to journey with, to see the grace of God in their life. I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that our hearts would be those that live in today, that our hearts would say that we are listening today to you. God, I thank you that it is today. I thank you that you came, that you died once for all, as Hebrews says, and that we're now living in today, and we have that opportunity to live in that place of rest, of trust, of faith in your promises. And I just pray for anyone that just needs to put those promises in your roadmap back in the frame of their lives, that you would strengthen them, God, and help them to see their circumstances from your perspective, and to have that future hope to keep going in their journey and walk with you. I pray, Lord, for us, that we would have a heart of Barnabas. I pray that we would be sons and daughters of encouragement, that we'd come alongside people and that we'd see their potential, Lord, that we would see the grace of God at work, firstly in our own lives, and that we'd be able to give that away to others in the way of encouragement and of comfort, in coming alongside others that need that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our greatest encourager, God, and we recognize that that's part of your character, and that's how you want us to posture ourselves with one another as your church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about King's Church Warrington, visit our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram.